Hi, I'm Anne McElhenney.
And I'm Fela McAleer.
Welcome to day 14 of the Harvey Weinstein trial, Unfiltered, a daily podcast using reenactments of the most dramatic moments of verbatim testimony from the trial of Harvey Weinstein. But first, let's remind you of what this trial is all about. In a case that basically launched the Me Too movement, movie producer Harvey Weinstein faces two charges of rape and one of a criminal sex act concerning two separate women. He also faces charges of predatory sexual assault, which carry a possible life sentence.
Yeah, so we're coming towards the end of the trial now. We're in the defence phase. The prosecution has rested, so now the defence are calling rebuttal witnesses, I suppose. And we started today with a pretty amazing witness, Nelson Lopez. Annabella Sciorra, the Sopranos actress, claims she was raped in her Gramercy Park apartment by Harvey Weinstein, who arrived unannounced at her, was it 11th floor apartment? The idea was, how could you get past the doorman? And could you get to find a doorman from 30 years ago? And they have, they have found the doorman. Not only have they found the doorman, they've found the man who's in charge of the doorman. So Nelson Lopez, he was very, very nervous, actually. And prior, you know, it's funny, most of the previous witnesses are actors or models, and they walk in quite sophisticated and quite controlled. He was a nervous wreck. He walked in and put his coat on as he approached the witness box, his big heavy coat. And then the judge had to say to him, do you want to take your coat off? So he has been working there since for over 30 years. So he was there for it all. And he's in charge. He supervises 13 employees, 7 doormen. So let's hear him describe the procedure for visitors at 60 Gramercy. And he's been questioned by Arthur Adiala, a lawyer for Harvey Weinstein. And this is the actual transcript from the trial, and it's reenacted by actors. So let's hear that, how you would get into an apartment at Gramercy Park if you arrived at the door, and what would happen if the resident didn't want you.
What I would like you to do is explain to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what the procedures are when a visitor comes to visit a resident of the building. If the resident does not answer the phone, what happens?
They are not allowed in.
And if the resident answers the phone and says, I don't want this person to come up, tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what happens.
They are asked to leave.
What happens if that person, that visitor, refuses to leave?
They call 911.
Who calls 911?
The doorman.
Are those the instructions and the training all your doormen receive?
Yes.
I would like to show you two photographs for identification. I ask it to be marked I-5 and 6. I-5 and J-5, or 5-I and 5-J. Do you recognize those two photographs?
Yes, indeed.
Do those photographs fairly and accurately represent the lobby at 60 Gramercy Park North?
Yes, the entrance to the building lobby.
Mr. Lopez then was asked to look at photographs to describe, you know, how would you access 60 Gramercy? You know, was there a doorman on duty 24 hours? And this becomes obviously very significant because of the allegations of Miss Annabella Sciorra. He was saying, Mr. Nelson was saying basically, it's his duty to ensure that the building is staffed 24 hours a day. And he's asked about his knowledge of Miss Sciorra and the alleged incident with Harvey Weinstein. Let's listen to that now.
Is it your duty to make sure that building is staffed with doormen 24 hours a day, 365 days a year?
Yes.
Is it in fact staffed 24 hours a day, 365 days a year?
Yes.
Do you know somebody named Annabella Sciorra?
Yes.
How do you know her?
She was a tenant in the building, subleased for a year.
I didn't hear you. A tenant in the building subleasing?
She subleased for a year.
Did Ms. Sciorra ever contact you about anyone trespassing in the building on her floor? Did Ms. Sciorra ever contact you about somebody coming into her apartment unannounced?
No.
Did she ever complain to you people have come to her apartment building without first being let up by her on the phone?
No, never.
Is it your understanding that in the years 1993 and 1994... it was your policy before anybody could go into Ms. Sciorra's apartment, a visitor would have to be called up first?
Correct, yes.
And you never got any complaint from her? That never took place, correct?
That is correct.
Pretty comprehensive questioning. And, you know, he even asked what happens if one of the doormen needs to go to the bathroom when they're on duty at night and there's a porter and the porter takes over duties and they radio the porter. There's always two doormen on duty. There's even that backup. But then if one of them, the other one's doing something else, there's a porter who comes along. So then he was questioned, Mr. Lopez was questioned by Joan Eluzzi Orban for the prosecution. I felt some of her questions backfired. She made a big point. Of course, Mr. Lopez can't remember anything from 1993. You know, that was, you know, he doesn't even remember what doormen were on in 1993. And of course, Mr. Lopez, because he takes his job really seriously, and boy, did he take his job really seriously, he could remember who was on in 1993, Herman and Jose Cruz, two brothers, and he even knew that Herman had retired to Puerto Rico. The questioning didn't shift him much. It was it didn't do much. So I think the defense scored some points there, that Gramercy Park is a posh building with a very strict security system. If one thing maybe that the prosecution got was they asked him, have you ever had a complaint about a doorman from anyone? And he says never in his 31 years has he had a complaint.
Well, I don't know if we know enough about these posh buildings in New York. I mean, it does seem extraordinary in 31 years that no one's ever complained about anything.
Yes.
But maybe these are just extraordinary doormen. But yeah, yes. I think maybe that was a slight weakness. So the next witness, tell us about the next witness. Yes.
That is Talita Maya, who is Jessica Mann's friend. Jessica Mann is one of the two criminal complainants against Harvey Weinstein. The other four complainants, including Annabella Sciorra, they're not technically criminal cases. They're to show prior bad acts. They're to bolster the main criminal cases of Jessica Mann and Miriam Haley. So Jessica Mann is a very, very important complainant in this case.
And when she gave evidence, she talked a lot about her friend Talita. So we heard an awful lot about Talita Maya. And then we got to meet her today.
Yes.
And she, you know, one of the things I think that struck us was that she really didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
She was, and the only reason she was there was she was under a subpoena.
Uh-huh.
She really was not keen on being there.
They asked her about her background. She's 35, actress living in Los Angeles. She's originally from Brazil. She met her friend Jessica on a movie shoot that she was just breaking up from a relationship, and she had a spare room in her apartment. They moved in together. Then she described how she and Jessica met Harvey Weinstein at a party in the Hollywood Hills, it was a party by someone called Michael Lambert. And the story of how they met the story of what happened when they met is very different
from how Jessica Mann
described it in her evidence. So let's hear Talita Maya's version of the fateful meeting in the Hollywood Hills between Jessica Mann and Harvey Weinstein.
Can you tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury the circumstances under which you met Mr. Weinstein?
Sure. I was eating and I was like leaning on a couch and Harvey approached me, making a joke that I was the only person eating in a Hollywood party, Los Angeles party, and I thought it was hilarious because it was true.
Did you start speaking with Harvey?
Yes, we started to talk.
Were you speaking with Harvey alone or was Jessica involved in the initial conversation?
No, it was alone. People would come and go and say hi to him. Jessica wasn't there until, like, maybe 5 minutes in the conversation.
Were you speaking to Harvey and Jessica approached, or how did that happen?
Jessica approached.
What happened when Jessica approached you and Mr. Weinstein?
I realized I had to introduce them, and I didn't know who he was. So I asked, by the way, we have been talking here a long time. What's your name? So he said, I am Harvey Weinstein. And I think he thought we didn't know who he was. So he repeated, I am Harvey Weinstein from the Weinstein Company.
Did Jessica react in any way?
I don't remember. But I made a joke because I said, like, well, then that's why everyone is being so nice to you. And Jessica reacted. She put her arm around Harvey and pinched his cheeks and said, no, it's because he is so cute.
And what happened next?
I don't remember what we talked about. I remember we mentioned something about the Oscars because his movie was running. The Master was running. And then they started talking only between themselves. And after that, and I went back to eating.
And did you see them leave the area where you were? What did you see next?
Yes, I saw them leaving together.
And what happened next?
Later on, I saw Jessica and Harvey coming out of a secluded area.
And did you have a conversation with Jessica after you saw her coming back to the party area with Harvey?
I don't remember the conversation itself. I just remember that she told me that she gave her a number.
Then Talita Maya was asked by Harvey Weinstein's defense lawyer, Donna Rotunno, about the montage incident. This is when Jessica Mann alleges she was first sexually assaulted by Harvey Weinstein.
While her friend was outside the room, right?
That's right. So her friend was outside the room. So Talita is a very significant witness here.
Yeah, it's really important that she came today and that we got to hear her.
So let's hear her version of how this incident went down. And again, it's very different from what Jessica Mann said. So let's hear that.
Do you know if Jessica had seen Harvey without you at any point in time between the party, the dinner, and going to the montage?
Yes.
And what did Ms. Mann relay to you about her time with Harvey?
Well, as far as I recall, the one time she told me was right after she met him. She had gone to meet him in a hotel.
And did she tell you about that meeting in the hotel?
Briefly, yes.
And what did she tell you about that meeting?
That she went upstairs with him after the meeting and she sang for him.
And she sang for him?
Yes.
Did she tell you she was uncomfortable about that at all?
No, she was very happy.
She was?
Very happy.
And when you agreed to drive Ms. Mann to the montage, tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what happened at the montage.
Well, we went to the bar and we were having drinks. Eventually, the bar was closing, so I went to the bathroom before we had to leave. And when I got out of the bathroom, I got kind of surprised by them.
When you say surprised, what do you mean?
Caught off guard.
What about them made you surprised?
They asked me to go upstairs with them, and they were very clear that there was nothing for me to worry about. It was like a suite. It wasn't a room. They said it's going to be very, very fast. Since I was driving, Jessica and I didn't have anywhere to wait because the bar was closing, and if I stayed in the lobby, I would look like a hooker. So I just said, okay, I will go.
Did you go up to a hotel room at the montage?
Yes, I did.
When you went up to the hotel room at the montage, did Mr. Weinstein say anything about having you both come so you could look at scripts?
Honestly, I don't recall. I was just uncomfortable with the situation, and I just went because...
Why were you uncomfortable?
Because I didn't want to go to a room with them. I don't know what they are going to do. It's weird.
Did you get the impression that it was not a professional reason that they wanted to go up to the hotel?
Well, I know that Jessica was already seeing him.
So... When you went up with them, tell the ladies and gentlemen of the jury what happened when you went up to the hotel room at the montage.
I sat on the couch and I watched TV.
And did you sit on the sofa by yourself?
By myself for around 10 minutes.
At any point in time, was there any argument or negotiating between Harvey and Jessica?
Not that I recall.
What did you see Harvey and Jessica do?
They went in the room and they closed the door.
At any point in time, did you hear any argument from the room?
No.
Did you hear any yelling from that room?
No.
Did your friend ever ask you for any help?
No.
What happened when Harvey and Jessica exited the room, or did they exit the room?
Well, they had to, yeah.
About how long would you say they were in that room?
10 minutes. It wasn't that long.
And what happened? They exited the room?
Then we left.
Did they exit the room together?
As I recall, yes.
And how did your friend appear to you?
Normal.
And did she say anything to you?
No, she did. I probably didn't pay attention because I was just super uncomfortable.
Did you say anything about the fact that you had to leave right now?
No.
Did she seem upset in any way?
No.
Did she say anything to you about what happened in that bedroom?
No.
What did you do next?
We went home. I drove us home.
And did she say anything in the car?
Not that I recall.
Did she seem okay in the car?
She seemed okay.
Did she seem happy?
She seemed okay. She seemed normal, like nothing out of the ordinary.
And did she then maintain a relationship with Mr. Weinstein after that?
Yes.
And did you know her to see him on a regular basis?
I don't know if it was a regular basis, but I know that they were in touch frequently.
According to Talita Maya, Jessica Mann seemed okay after the incident in the bedroom and continued a relationship with Harvey Weinstein on a regular basis afterwards. So, you know, an interesting diversion.
Yeah, certainly it sounded very, very different. And you know, the fact that Talita was there, you know, under subpoena, that she didn't really want to be there. I think it made her a very convincing witness, and I think the jury were impressed with her.
Yes.
But
yes.
Then we get on to the New York incident, right? We get on to what happened at the Doubletree Hotel, allegedly yes. happened at the Doubletree Hotel.
Jessica Mann says when she was there, it's for St. Patrick's Day 2013. Jessica Mann says she was there, she found Harvey checking in, she went crazy. He forced her upstairs and raped her. But Ms. Maya
tells a very different story.
She tells a different story. Let's hear her tell her version of that incident. And she's talking to Donna Rotunno, who's Harvey Weinstein's defense lawyer. And this is verbatim testimony reenacted by actors. If you like this podcast, and we're having an amazing response, we're in the top 100 true crime podcasts in the United States. We're the 50th most popular true crime podcast in Australia, Ireland, and the UK. But if you like it, we need more people to listen. We want to get into the top 10. So please go and rate it. Please make comments. We do read all your comments.
And share it with your friends. Make sure to tell your friends all about it.
We do read the comments. I see people are still complaining about us talking over each other, but our explanation for that is we're married.
But we also had somebody write and say they loved it because they know that we're married.
Yes.
So let's listen to Ms. Rotunno questioning Talita Maya.
Do you remember being in your Jersey City apartment over St. Patrick's Day of 2013 that weekend?
I'm sorry, when is St. Patrick's Day?
Like March 17th, mid-March of 2013.
Yes.
And did Jessica come to New York?
Yes, she was here.
And did you have plans to meet her while she was in New York?
Well, she was here separate from me. Of course, she was my roommate, so we planned to meet up.
Do you remember going to a hotel to meet Jessica?
Yes.
Do you remember if you saw her the day before you went to the hotel?
Yes, I did.
And what did you do when you saw her the day before you went to the Doubletree?
We went to a bar. It was me, her, and her agent friend.
And is that agent friend Tommy Richards?
Thomas, yes.
And do you remember being out with both of them?
Yes.
And what did you... You were in a bar. What was happening?
We were in a bar.
Drinking, dancing.
Drinking. It wasn't a dancing place.
Do you know if Jessica left with Tommy? Did she leave with you, or do you remember?
She left with him.
I am sorry?
She left with him.
Do you know if it was late, or do you have any idea?
It was nighttime. I don't remember.
And what happened the next day?
The next day, I met up with her for breakfast.
And do you remember where that meeting was?
At the Doubletree.
And who was scheduled to be at that meeting at the Doubletree?
Me, her, and Thomas.
And is that who was there?
Harvey was there.
Did she tell you ahead of time that you were going to see Harvey?
I don't remember.
Do you know if she called you in that morning, saying, Harvey's early, I need you to hurry?
She probably did. I think so.
And did you come to the hotel?
Yes.
And at any point in time, do you remember what happened when you first saw Jessica? What were the circumstances of first seeing Jessica at the hotel?
I remember I saw her and Harvey across the street in front of the hotel, and I crossed the street. I said hi to Harvey. I saw him very briefly. We talked for like very little, and then I went upstairs with Jessica because she had to check out.
And do you remember a conversation about the fact that she was going to stay longer?
Yeah, I think she was supposed to leave that day, and Harvey invited us for a screening, and she decided to stay one more night.
Did she seem upset at all about the decision to stay?
No.
Did you in any way push her to stay?
No, of course not.
And you said you went upstairs with her. Was that so she could get her things?
Yes.
Did she say anything bad or negative happened with Harvey that morning?
Not that I recall. Nothing that stood out for me.
Did she seem like herself to you?
Yes.
At this point, you are still living together in California?
Yes.
How did you and Jessica spend the rest of that day after she got her things?
We were walking around the city.
And did you have a meeting at the Weinstein Company with Julie?
I don't recall Julie, but as far as I recall, we did stop by.
You went to the Weinstein Company?
Yes.
So Talita went on then to describe how they went to a Weinstein premiere the next night. This is the next night after Jessica Mann was apparently raped by Harvey Weinstein. Jessica Mann had made a lot of the fact that the day after the screening, she had refused to reply to Weinstein's texts, claiming she was traumatized by the sexual assault. But Talita said that there was another reason she was upset by who she saw at the premiere. So let's have a listen to that. Again, another very different version of what had happened in New York. And so we've got Talita Mann, who's being questioned by Harvey Weinstein's lawyer, Donna Rotunno.
We went to the screening.
And was that August Osage County?
Yes.
Did you see Harvey at the screening?
Yes.
Did you see Harvey's wife at the screening?
Briefly.
And how was Jessica's reaction to seeing Harvey and his wife?
I think it was very awkward for both of us. She was just in awe of Georgina. She is a very beautiful woman. She kept saying, "Oh my God, she's so beautiful."
Did you and Jessica go back to your home in Jersey City after the screening?
Yes.
And did you know that Jessica went to meet Harvey the next day?
No.
Did she tell you that?
Not that I recall.
How long did Jessica live with you in L.A.?
Not long, maybe like 6 months.
Did you remain friends?
Not as close as we once were while she was living until 2016, yes.
And during the period of time from the beginning of 2013 until 2016, when you and Jessica were no longer friends, did she ever in any way tell you that Harvey Weinstein hurt her in any way?
No.
That he ever raped her?
While we were friends, no.
That he ever forced her to do anything against her will?
No, she spoke highly of him.
And what was your impression of Jessica's relationship with Harvey Weinstein?
She seemed to really like him as a person. She would only compliment him.
Basically, Talita Maya really destroyed almost every part of Jessica Mann's narrative, every part of her story, every part of her testimony. I mean, even to the very fact, she was also asked about Jessica Mann's claim, and it was a very dramatic image.
Yeah,
Jessica likes these dramatic images. You know, there's this claim that the night of the sexual assault, she fled to Miss Maya's apartment and slept. She was so upset she slept in the closet because she felt safe. And Talita Maya, I mean, it may not come across very well in the reenactment, but I think she laughed at it. She sort of dismissed it completely out of hand.
Let's hear that.
And did she sleep in a closet?
No, I had a nice apartment.
Would you ever have someone sleep in a closet?
No.
Did you have plenty of room for her to be at your house?
Yes.
And do you remember getting a text message, do you remember Jessica getting a text message from Harvey when she was at your house in Jersey City after you saw the screening?
Yes.
And do you remember what her reaction was to that?
He asked her to come see him in New York, and she did not want to go.
And what did you tell her?
Don't go.
And was she crying about not wanting to go, or did she just say, "I didn't want to go"?
She didn't want to say no to him. She was afraid to say no to him.
Did she say no?
I told her to just say that you don't want to go. Say that you are with me and say you don't want to go back. And she eventually said no.
And she stayed with you?
She stayed with me.
Again, she didn't tell you that she was going to see him the next day.
No, she did not.
So then we heard about how Miss Mann described her relationship with Harvey Weinstein to her friend, and it had a strange echo to what she had said to Harvey Weinstein after he had sexually assaulted her. You know, she said under oath, in her testimony, that after Harvey Weinstein forcibly performed oral sex on her, that she had falsely told him it was the best she ever had. You know, it was sort of told as a kind of a way to protect herself.
Out of fear.
Out of fear or whatever. However, now we have Talita on the stand, her friend who she had actually spoken to about this this oral sex, and she said something very different, obviously in a context where she didn't really need to
be,
you know, to be fearful, actually. If anything, she could have totally told her friend. So
funny, she didn't say something very different. She said, you know, she said something very similar in very different circumstances.
Exactly. Yes. So let's listen to that.
Did she ever have a conversation with you regarding Harvey about her interactions with him being the best orgasm she has ever had?
She did volunteer that information at some point. I don't remember when.
Do you remember whether it was the night you left the montage?
No, it was not that night.
Nothing further.
So then it was the turn of the prosecution to cross-examine this witness. And I think limited success here. I think this was a good witness for the defence, especially as I believe Jessica Mann's accusations are the weakest of all the victims. You know, there are serious holes in her story. So Ms. Saluzzi Orban, you know, she tried to imply that Talita Mayas
was kind of motivated by hatred, right?
Yes, that she hated Jessica Mann. Talita sort of dismissed that, you know, but unfortunately for the prosecution, has happened a number of times during the cross-examinations, and it's happened for the defence a lot as well. Her questions
elicited responses that she really would have preferred not to have to elicit.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that she also revealed that she had invited Harvey Weinstein as the plus one for Jessica for her wedding.
And she also, Talita said that Miss Mann had said that Harvey Weinstein had told her that Harvey Weinstein was her, quote, spiritual soulmate. So, you know, this kind of information would be better off kept from the jury for the prosecution, but it was the questioning just led her there. So let's hear that questioning and those answers that the prosecution may have regretted hearing.
When Ms. Rotano asked you if you were still friends with Jessica, you said that you sort of just drifted apart. Is that correct?
Not drifted apart. That's not what I said. I said we weren't as close as we were while we were living together.
But that's not true, right? In fact, you twice had a very, very bitter falling out, and you, in fact, very much dislike Jessica Mann, is that correct?
In 2016?
Right now.
I don't dislike Jessica. Let me explain. I don't dislike Jessica. Jessica did things in my life that it impacted my life in a very negative, in a terrible, terrible way, and I wish I didn't have to go through that. I don't hate her or anything like that.
Well, in fact, would it be fair to say that you invited Harvey Weinstein to your wedding but didn't invite Jessica? Is that correct?
No, of course not. She was one of my bridesmaids. I stopped talking to her and I told her, I don't want you in my life anywhere. Therefore, you are not, obviously, she's not a bridesmaid. I invited him when she was still a guest. She was still my bridesmaid.
Okay, but you invited Harvey Weinstein to your wedding, correct?
Yes, and Jessica was very aware he was going to be her date if he was available.
When was that?
He was going to be her date if he was available, and that was... And honestly, I invited him as a gesture. I never expected him to go.
Okay. When you say, what date did you get married?
I got married. I have two wedding dates. I got married on January 21st of 2017, and I also got married before that in a courthouse in July. So I consider July my date that I actually got married.
What of those weddings, which one of those weddings did you invite Mr. Weinstein to?
The second one. Jessica was invited for both, and I invited Harvey for the ceremony, which was like about 100 and something people.
So when you say Jessica was going, Harvey was going to be Jessica's date, you mean for your wedding in 2017?
That's what she said. She said, like, if he is available, he's going to come as my date.
Jessica was speaking the entire time that she had a relationship with Harvey. She always spoke very, very well of him.
Yes.
She seemed to be romantically involved with him.
For a period of time, yes. For another period of time, they seemed to be just friends.
So that
For a period of time, they seemed to be romantically involved. Well, I know they were. And then for the other period of time, they were just friends.
And did Jessica talk about the fact she found him very attractive?
No.
Would Jessica talk about the fact that she looked forward to sexual events with him?
We wouldn't really talk that much about Harvey.
So I am sorry. Did you speak to Jessica Mann about her having romantic feelings towards Harvey Weinstein?
She said a few times that he was like her spiritual soulmate.
Did she talk about him in wanting him in a sexual manner is what I'm asking you.
Like I told you, we wouldn't really talk that much about Harvey.
So she never said to you that she was attracted to him sexually. Is that what you are saying, ma'am?
She would say he was a wonderful person and he was her soulmate and really good things. I didn't ask about their sexual life. I wasn't interested.
So then the answer is no.
She volunteered information about the orgasm.
Did she ever indicate to you that she was romantically interested in Harvey Weinstein?
She seemed like she was.
Did she ever talk to you about that? Did she ever say anything that led you to that conclusion?
Well, she was always going to see him.
We are talking about a romantic interest.
That's what I am saying.
And then Joanna Lucy Orban asked her about the Montage Hotel incident where Miss Maya says she went upstairs with Jessica Mann and Harvey Weinstein. And she has a very different memory of that incident.
And when you go upstairs immediately upon entering the room, where do you go?
Immediately. I don't remember immediately what happened. I remember I went and sat down on the couch and watched TV.
You didn't find it odd that Jessica and Mr. Weinstein went inside the bedroom and just left you with not a word in the living room?
I'm not saying they didn't say a word. I'm saying I didn't remember. Now, yes, it was a really awkward situation.
But you didn't get up and leave?
So no, because they said it was going to be really fast.
And not only did you not get up, you did not ask Jessica what is going on.
It was pretty clear to me what was going on.
And if it was clear to you what was going on, why would you have to be there?
Because I was driving her. I couldn't wait in the bar, and I couldn't wait in the lobby.
So rather than being somewhere else or even sitting in your car, they wanted you to sit in the living room when they went to the bedroom. To your observation, they wanted you to be in the room while they went into the bedroom.
Let me explain something.
Please.
I have no reason. What is known about Harvey nowadays, I did not know back then. I had no reason to think that I was in harm. So they specifically said, it's not going to take a long time. Can you please come with us? I got caught off guard. I'm like, okay.
And Jessica happily went into the bedroom, to your observation.
Yes.
Can I just take you back a step, Ms. Maya? When you indicated that the first time that you heard Jessica was meeting Harvey prior to this, did you tell someone that, in fact, Jessica took her boyfriend with her?
Wait, what?
When Ms. Mann went to see Harvey the first time, do you recall saying that she took her boyfriend with her?
No, I did not say that.
She went by herself. Are you sure? You are sure? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Are you sure?
Yes, I am absolutely sure. She told me and her boyfriend when she came home that she had met Harvey. And they weren't boyfriend and girlfriend yet. They were just casually dating.
Miss Lucy Orban continued and asked questions, some questions that didn't land very well. Nothing really came out of them. But one of them opened a door, again, that she probably regretted opening. The answer allowed Ms. Maya to contradict Jessica's account of the failed threesome, the famous failed threesome. And, you know, Ms. Mann's account was that she was forced into it and afterwards was in the bathroom in a fetal position. Again, she's there's a lot of these, I lay in a fetal position or I lay in a closet. However, Talita says about her friend, says it was actually Jessica Mann who was fascinated by the Italian actress, almost obsessed with the Italian actress who was part of the threesome, and that Jessica may have been the driving force, not Harvey Weinstein, behind the threesome. So let's hear that exchange.
When you received this email and the defendant said to tell your friend Jess, I'm friendly, you took that as a joke?
Yeah, because she was always saying good things about him. She never said anything bad.
And then you went on to say...
You can read it.
Ha ha ha, Jessica is giving you a hard time with a friendly thing, ? She adores you?
Yeah.
Then he said once again, help. Do you recall that?
Again, it was all a joke.
You thought it was all a joke?
Yes.
Did you ask Jessica whether or not she was upset to have to continue to see the defendant?
She never, at least to me, she never seemed upset.
Well, you said that she didn't want to see him on March 18th after the premiere, correct?
That was the one time she told me she did not want to see him.
She was very upset about the fact that the defendant wanted her to do something with an Italian girl, right?
Well, you have to understand the context, okay? Jessica was curious about girls. When she met Manuela, she mentioned Manuela was gorgeous. She was like, kept saying that. So I think she, for me, what I understood back then is she just panicked and she could not go through. For me, it was not something with Harvey. For me, it was something with, like, herself.
So, in fact, your recollection is that she met a woman named Emanuela?
Yes.
And then she started talking about her?
Well, the day of, yes, she said she kept saying she was very beautiful.
Did she say she wanted to be sexual with her?
I don't know. The one time we spoke about it was on the phone.
So the next witness, like, fascinating, actually,
yes.
Claudia Salinas and Demi Sharonis got to question her. But, you know, remembering, I mean, I think it was really important that we got to meet Claudia Salinas. I mean,
yes.
she's the woman allegedly in this hotel situation with Lauren Young, and according to Lauren Young, you know, basically I held her hostage, right, in
yes.
this bathroom situation. You know, there was kind of an idea at one point she was pushed in, then kind of she changed her mind, but she could see her shadow outside
yes.
through the glass.
At one stage, she accused Claudia Salinas, Lauren Young accused Claudia Salinas of locking the door from the outside and forcing her in the bathroom where she was sexually assaulted by Harvey Weinstein. Now, when she realized that no bathroom doors in California lock from the outside, she changed her story. But all along, Claudia Salinas was the incredibly evil person.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, because when you heard that, when you originally heard that testimony, I mean, it was chilling.
Yes.
I mean, it was like, oh, my God, you've got this friend. You end up in this
yes.
situation upstairs. And then
well,
it's like, you know, you're with your buddy. And your buddy then is, I mean, it's actually like really chilling. It was actually very cinematic.
It's like a movie. I mean, again, it's another movie image. And, you know, who reminded me of was, you know, the Jeffrey Epstein. And apparently he had all these people who procured young women for him. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But it has that idea of, and actually... The prosecution later tried to make her out that she was procuring women for him, and you know, and that fell flat.
Right.
One thing I will say about Claudia Salinas, she's not just a pretty face; she's more than a pretty face. I mean, she has a very interesting background. Born in Mexico, she studied industrial and systems engineering at university, and then went on to become a top model and quite an accomplished actress as well, starring in the biggest budget Mexican film,
mm-hmm.
actually. But so Damon Sharonis wasted no time. There was none of this, you know, tell me about a little bit about yourself. He just went straight for it. So let's hear. This is verbatim testimony reenacted by actors playing Damon Sharonis and Claudia Salinas. If you like this, please rate it. If you really like it and you want it to continue, you can help fund it. Go to unreportedstorysociety.com, unreportedstorysociety.com. And let's hear Damon Sharonis get right in and ask the hard questions.
I'm going to cut right to it. Have you ever seen Harvey Weinstein run out of a bathroom suite naked?
No, I've never seen him.
Ever seen him naked under any circumstances?
No, never.
Do you know an individual named Lauren Young?
I do.
Did you ever lure Lauren Young into a bathroom with Harvey Weinstein?
No.
Did you ever lock Lauren Young in a bathroom with Harvey Weinstein?
No.
Ever stand outside of a bathroom door while Lauren Young was inside with Harvey Weinstein?
No, never.
Ever see Lauren Young follow a naked Harvey Weinstein out of a bathroom with a white dress around her elbows?
Absolutely not.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Would you remember that?
I would remember that.
So he didn't let up at all, Damon Chironis. He kept going and went next. His next port of call was the montage meeting.
Yes.
And just again, you know, detail after detail that just completely contradicted what Lauren Young had said. You know, there was no talk about bringing a script, you know, and all of that kind of thing.
Even from that basic start off, it wasn't about scripts, it was just a drink. According to Claudia Salinas, this never happened.
Yeah. I mean, her thing was, her big takeout from her was the whole thing was really uneventful. This whole event at the montage was super uneventful.
And there was no going to hotel rooms, there was no sexual assault, there was nothing. But it's better to hear her tell it in her own words. So.
And she's telling it to Damon Chironis, who doesn't, you know, who's very, you know,
intense.
Very intense in his questioning. Let's hear that now.
Did you eventually go to the Montage Hotel?
Yes.
And when you went to the Montage Hotel, did you meet with Lauren Young?
I did.
Did Lauren Young give you a script?
No, she didn't.
Did you take a script from Lauren Young and put it in your purse?
No.
Who was at the montage with you and Lauren Young?
We were there to meet Harvey Weinstein.
And do you remember how long the meeting occurred?
I don't remember.
Did you have anything to drink?
No, I don't drink.
Did you know if Mr. Weinstein had anything to drink?
I don't remember.
Do you remember what you spoke about at that meeting at the montage?
We talked about, it was Oscar week, so we were talking about what events were happening, you know? She was telling me about her modeling and what she was doing. Just, again, regular stuff.
Did you ever recall a conversation between Mr. Weinstein and yourself and Lauren Young about America's Next Top Model?
No.
Do you know if Mr. Weinstein was even affiliated with America's Top Model?
Not that I know of.
Do you know any other modeling shows Mr. Weinstein was affiliated with?
Yes.
What is that?
Project Runway.
This was Oscar season?
Yes.
Did Mr. Weinstein have a busy schedule?
Very busy.
In the time you met with Mr. Weinstein, did you spend the entire evening with him every time you met him?
Never.
Do you know how long it was that you spent with Mr. Weinstein and Lauren Young?
I don't remember.
Do you recall anything unusual about the conversation at the bar?
No.
You didn't have a script at all that day, did you?
No scripts.
Then Mr. Chironis put up photos of the Montage Hotel and rooms and all, and took her on a little guided tour, well, a sort of reverse guided tour for her saying, I was never there, I was never there, I never did that there, I never did this there. Let's hear it. I mean, it's important that we do hear this because what she was accused of was appalling.
Yes.
And, you know, it's important that she was allowed, able to...
She had her day in court.
She had her day in court. Yeah. But I have to say, again, another one who's reluctant to come, she was only there under subpoena. I think people want to just bury their head and you know, and it's, of course, it's tough to go up against a Me Too victim. There's a, you know, a lot comes down on you because of that. So, but she did well and she was very, very strong. So let's hear that.
Now, I'm going to show you some photos that have already been introduced into evidence. People's 161. Do you recognize that photograph?
I don't.
Do you ever recall walking down that hallway behind Lauren Young as Mr. Weinstein was in front of her?
No, that never happened.
Excuse me?
That never happened.
Do you see that photograph?
Yes.
Do you recognize that suite?
I don't.
Do you ever recall following Lauren Young into that suite with Mr. Weinstein in front of her?
No.
Did that ever happen?
No.
I'm going to show you 163. That looks like another view of that suite. You see that?
Yes.
Did you ever recall following Lauren Young with Mr. Weinstein leading through that sort of living room area?
No.
That appears to be a photograph of a bedroom. Do you ever recall following Lauren Young through that room with Mr. Weinstein in front of her?
No.
Another photograph. This is 165. Do you ever remember walking through that doorway behind Lauren Young with Mr. Weinstein in front of her?
No.
See that hallway?
Yes.
Do you ever recall following Lauren Young down that hallway with Mr. Weinstein in front of her?
No.
You see that door?
Yes.
Does there appear to be a shower past that door?
Yes.
Do you even recognize that room as a place you have ever been?
No.
Did you ever close that door on Lauren Young while she was in a bathroom with Harvey Weinstein?
No.
Are you sure?
I am very sure.
How are you sure?
Because if I had done that, I would remember that.
Would you ever do that?
I would never do that. I never closed a door behind anybody ever.
Do you recognize that bathroom?
I don't.
Do you remember where you went later that night, the night you met Lauren Young?
I don't.
Was there anything about that night that stuck out in your mind?
No, nothing.
Was it relatively uneventful?
It was pretty uneventful.
Do you recall going to a meeting with Lauren Young the following day at the Weinstein Company's office?
I don't remember.
So then it was time for the prosecution to have their go, their cross-examination. And I think Megan Hast, Assistant District Attorney Megan Hast, scored a few points by pointing out that what Claudia Salinas had said to the police when they originally contacted her was somewhat different from what she was saying today. Scored some points with that. You know, but it wasn't a walkover for the prosecutor either. Claudia Salinas was obviously frustrated and felt the prosecutor was taking things out of context, snapped back a lot when she felt she was being misrepresented. There was one interesting exchange when the prosecutor basically was implying that after the Lauren Young incident, Claudia Salinas was some kind of procurer of women for Weinstein.
And it was just like a really negative interpretation of a joking email.
Yes, that led.
But it led to this kind of testy exchange.
You know, I think the prosecutor has to do this, right? Because what Claudia Salinas allegedly did is so unthinkable. You know, a woman wouldn't do that unless she was some kind of evil ogre.
Mm-hmm.
So to try and make her an evil ogre, she was saying, "Oh, this is what you do. You procure women for this monster."
No, yes. So I actually think this is kind of a funny situation because, I mean, I think the idea, I mean, you know, we live in LA and we know about these, you know, kind of parties that they have. And in fairness, we know that there's a whole thing about bring lots of pretty girls.
Yes.
You know, and pretty girls can get in free and they can get to go to lots of stuff.
Well, there's casting calls go out for pretty girls who need to go to parties. You know.
It's nothing new there. I mean, I think maybe the prosecution in New York, the ADA, doesn't know that this is how things are done.
Even at parties at home, like bring the friends who are prettier than you, or just it was a joke and. It was stretching it a bit to try and make this into the Cruella de Vil.
Let's hear that exchange.
Do you remember also telling us that you don't remember anything involving a bathroom, but I'm not saying it isn't true? Do you remember telling us that?
I don't remember saying that. If I suggested that, it doesn't mean that it isn't true. It is not true. What is true is I was not there in a bathroom scenario.
Do you remember further telling us that I don't recall it, but it could have happened?
Again, if I said that, it was suggesting that it could have happened, but that didn't mean that I was there.
Do you remember telling us that Harvey Weinstein told you to tell Lauren Young that he could help her with her career? You remember that?
No.
Did you introduce other women to Harvey Weinstein?
I didn't introduce other women to Harvey Weinstein. He met some of my friends because I would always come with a friend.
Do you recall telling us in July of 2019 that Harvey Weinstein was always asking me to bring my better-looking friends? You remember that?
I did.
Is that true? Harvey Weinstein was asking you to bring your better-looking friends when you came to meet him.
It is not to meet him. If I was invited to an event, he always said, please, bring your good-looking friends.
Would he further tell you to tell your good-looking friends good things about him?
It was like, for me, I saw it as an innocent suggestion. Just say good things about me kind of thing. I did not make anything of it.
You met Harvey Weinstein when you were 19 years old.
Correct.
He was probably close to 50 at that time. Would that be fair?
Yeah.
He hit on you, right?
He was flirtatious with me.
What did you tell him?
I told him I was not interested.
What words did you use?
I don't remember the exact words,
Do you remember having a conversation with the LA district attorney?
Yes.
Do you remember very specifically recalling the exact word you used?
I used the words fuck off to describe it. That does not mean I told Mr. Weinstein to fuck off.
After that, you started bringing your pretty, better-looking friends to meet with Harvey Weinstein.
No.
But you did bring your better-looking friends to parties, correct?
What was the question?
You did bring your better-looking friends when you were invited to parties by Harvey Weinstein, correct?
I always bring... All my friends are good-looking.
Do you remember talking a little bit with us in July of 2019 about Harvey Weinstein? Remember those questions?
When?
When you had a conversation with the DA's office in July of 2019.
Was that our first conversation?
Yes.
Yeah, we
talked about Harvey Weinstein.
Do you remember telling the district attorney he was not very ethical? Do you recall that?
I may have used those words, but I didn't mean it literally.
Can you tell us what you meant?
You know, Mr. Weinstein was just, you know, he had to have his way. He was a very strong personality person. So, you know, I don't really know what I meant. It was just a remark.
So Megan Hast also got her to say some semi-critical things, actually, about Harvey Weinstein. I mean, and she is pretty critical of him, actually.
He's not a monster, you know. Her criticism does not make him a monster. It makes him more human, actually, and a driven person. But it'll be all up to the jury to decide what these comments mean. So let's hear these actors reinterpret Megan Hast and Claudia Salinas.
Do you remember telling us that he wasn't nice to me?
At times, he wasn't nice to me. He never helped me with anything, my career.
Do you remember describing Harvey Weinstein as a bully?
Again, it's just a description. He was a little bit of a bully, business-wise.
Were you afraid of Harvey Weinstein?
No.
Do you recall telling the district attorneys that you felt like Harvey Weinstein was using you?
I remember saying it.
Okay. Can you describe for the jury what you mean when you say Harvey Weinstein was using you?
Again, it's one of those things that I didn't mean literally using me. I just, you know, because of his personality type, I felt sometimes, you know, I was a little frustrated because, again, I never got any help from him in any way.
So it was a quick day today, actually. After Claudia Salinas gave evidence, the judge suddenly told the jury that the day was over. And actually, on Friday, he had told the jury that today was
going to be a long day.
Yes. And it just came out in a legal argument. Basically, there are a lot of witnesses who do not want to testify. And there are a lot of bench warrants and subpoenas flying across the country at the moment to try and force people to testify. So that's why it was ended so quickly. So I think they're trying to get all these witnesses to come on Tuesday and Wednesday. Overall today, very good day for the defense. There was the doorman was good. Talita was excellent. I mean, no one really knocked anything off her. She was very strong, and she was very strong against a very weak complainant. Mm-hmm. You know, so that Jessica Mann's story already has holes in it, and Talita helped, you know, dig them a bit deeper.
And you know, and Jessica Mann is one of those substantial, yes, accusers, one of the criminal accusers. So it's big when a few dents can be put in that story.
Claudia Salinas, again, I always felt that Lauren Young's complaint was the strongest, that there was very few contradictions in it. Claudia Salinas came along and said, this did not happen, which is pretty strong. And, you know, even when the prosecutor tried to land, so the implication that she owed a lot to Harvey Weinstein, you know, she then listed all the commercials she has done.
Oh, she has a massive career.
A massive career. Yeah. Old Navy, Budweiser, Bud Light, Carl's Jr., Lexus, Lincoln, Toyota. Basically, if there's a national brand, she has been in the ads for it in Spanish or in English. She's this massive career. And I don't think they landed as many blows as they would like. So we did also get a look into the calendar. On Tuesday, there is going to be more defense witnesses, maybe also a little bit on Thursday. Wednesday is a day off for the court system. I believe it's Lincoln's birthday. But on Thursday, we're going to hear the defense summing up. On Friday, the prosecution summing up.
And then the court is out on Monday, and then so
the judge is Tuesday. Summing up is going to be Tuesday, and the jury is going to retire to consider its verdict on Tuesday.
And we spoke to, we've been asking people, you know, for their advice on what they think and how long will the jury be out, and people have said it could be, you know, days, actually. It could even be a week. So we'll be there waiting like everyone else. So if you like this podcast and want to contribute, please go to theunreportedstorysociety.com and give what you can. And we will see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Today's podcast is produced by Unreported Story Society and Magdalena Segeda and Raquel Lehrman of Theater Planners. written and presented by Fela McAleer and Anne McElhaney, directed by Kif Scholl. Donna Ratana is played by Caitlin Carlton. Megan Hast is played by Kristen Connors. Claudia Salina is played by Jennifer Dietz. Joan Eluzi Orban is played by Michelle Gardner. Nelson Lopez is played by Joe Hernandez-Kolsky. Talita Maya is played by Karis Morgan Moyer. Arthur Idala is played by Bruce Nozick. And Damon Sharonis is played by David Stanbra. Edited by Mark Aramian. Engineered by Brianna Villarreal.